And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show going from Huntsville back on over to Chattanooga and from Tuscaloosa back on over to Gadsden and all the way down to that loveliest little village on the plains we call Auburn. It's right across the line from there to what we now call, once again, Fort Benning. Benning. And then big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi all thrown in. Listen, wherever you guys catch this show, we just want you to know we appreciate you. You're the only reason why we do it. You're what makes it work. So thank you very much, all you right side ruffians. Hey, listen, let me go ahead and bring on somebody who's a longtime conservative. I'm proud to call him somebody that I've had a chance to know for a number of years. Congressman Gary Palmer is originally the founder of the Alabama Policy Institute, where I am still a distinguished fellow. And API is still doing great work in the state of Alabama. He is now the congressman for Alabama's 6th Congressional District. He's been there since 2015, and he has been a leader in the House, and he is certainly a leader in conservatism. And he's on the line right now. Congressman Gary Palmer, how you doing?
Good, Phil. How are you?
I'm good, sir. I'm good. Well, you've had a bit of a big week.
Yeah, I'd say so.
I saw the images,
big announcement.
Yeah, the big announcement in the Oval Office. Yeah, talk about that.
Well, we've been working on this for 5 years, and the president was absolutely right. We have been so persistent on this, and but we finally got the announcement that the Space Command headquarters for Space Force would be moving to Huntsville. Yeah. And it's not only good for Alabama, Phil, it's the right thing to do for our national security. That's where Space Command should have been all along. There were 5 or 6 states that were in the running that, well, at least applied for having the headquarters in their states. And Alabama came in first in every evaluation.
Yeah.
And it was purely a political move on Biden's part to put it in Colorado. And Colorado actually came in last in the evaluations. And I want to say something about Congressman Mike Rogers, who chairs the Armed Services Committee. Mike was brilliant in keeping it from becoming permanent in Colorado by not allowing them to have access to money to build any new facilities. So they literally were operating out of rented facilities that they had to basically misapply other funds to do that. So, you know, the whole team, the whole Alabama delegation, all of us were of one mind on this thing, and it finally paid off.
Now, I know that, you know, we now have 2 members of our U.S. delegation are Democrats. I did not see Terry Sewell or Shamari Figures in the Oval Office image. If they were there, I missed it. I've never heard them not be supportive of this. I mean, it's good for the state. Has there at least been a bipartisan effort on this one?
Oh, absolutely. We all 7 members of the House, both senators, 100% involved in this. Richard Shelby, before he left office, we were all behind this effort. And what people say, well, why Huntsville? Well, first of all, Redstone Arsenal, Marshall Space Flight Center, some of the top defense research manufacturing companies are located there. But the main thing is that, and a lot of people have missed this, the Golden Dome, which will be the greatest missile defense system in the world, the missile defense shield, are all being developed in Huntsville. So when you look at what Space Force is really about, it's the asymmetric warfare. I think you're a former military, you understand what that means.
Yeah, I do.
It's cyber. It's a number of things. And as I pointed out, President Trump looked at me and motioned me to the podium. Throughout history, every military has understood the advantages of holding the high ground. Well, space is the ultimate high ground for them.
Yeah.
And we not only are going to occupy that, we want to dominate it. And we're in a position to do that.
That's so well put. And you're right. And occupying the high ground, boy, I can certainly grab onto that as a mantra that's worth, you know, repeating over and over again. There is a space race. People don't realize it, but China has its own, axe to grind with the United States, and it's got its own gains in the outer atmosphere that it's attempting to make. And then we've also got Russia, and then even got Iran and North Korea launching things into the outer atmosphere. So this is absolutely necessary for national defense. Now, let me ask you, so Colorado is already, you know, crying foul, and which to me the irony is they're calling it a political move when the reality is this was appointed and then changed to Colorado for politics, and all we're doing is setting it right. Have you talked to your Colorado peers at all about this?
No, they haven't said anything about it. And I think they know, but they, you know, as representatives of that state, and particularly one representing the district where the temporary headquarters were, you know, they did what they needed to do as representatives. Again, going back to the evaluations, Huntsville was by far the best choice. The Secretary of Air Force under Biden said that publicly. Mm. There was no question that it should have been in Huntsville, and they won't talk about a political decision. It was pure politics to locate the headquarters in the state that came in last.
Yeah.
Pretty transparent. And then, you know, you had the governor of Colorado a few days ago, Jared Polis, came out and said that this weakened our national security. And my response to that was the next time I asked Jared Polis for advice on national security would be the first time.
Mm.
So yeah. He's not someone that I'd be going to for advice on what we need to do in terms of our national security.
Well, there's a lot to this, too. There's going to be a lot of second and third order effects, I would call it. I mean, I know we're bringing in a bunch of jobs in that are direct application jobs to Space Command, but there's also going to be all of the spinoff jobs and the defense contracting jobs and the other things that happen in a community when you have more people move in, retail and restaurants and whatever else opens up, building, construction. But let me ask you, one of the things that really strikes me is now a big chunk of the UA, the University of Alabama system, is in your district, with parts of course, Tuscaloosa, certainly Birmingham with UAB and the UAB Medical Research, and then, of course, UAH is in Huntsville. But the UA system, I would think, is going to have a big role in research and development and in, you know, training up a future workforce that has the skills to work at a place like Space Command. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I just met with the new president of the University of Alabama. I'm very impressed with him, and there are a number of things that I'm involved in that's going to have a big impact. In terms, people might not make the connection, but I've really worked to get the Northern Beltline built because I think that we could have a technology corridor that stretches from Tennessee to Mobile and then westward to Tuscaloosa that would rival Austin, Texas. It would rival the technology triangle, research triangle in North Carolina. We could be in a position to really build a technology economy right here in central Alabama that literally runs north to south, playing off not only the defense technology, but off of medical research, because a lot of this is going hand in hand. The thing that we're missing here is that I've been working to try to launch an ROTC type program for cyber, and start identifying students when they're seventh, eighth grade that might grow up to be hackers that we'd want to defend against, instead of having them working against us, working for us.
Yeah.
Get them through college, pay everything, get their background checks done, and then get them to work immediately. That's part of this whole idea of cyber warfare and just looking at what's happened in Ukraine and how warfare has changed. We've really got to be focused.
Wow, that's amazing. And what you can picture, for years we always heard about the Silicon Valley in California, or like you said, the Research Triangle. And I know that people often overlook the fact that, like, one of the highest per capita doctorate level degrees communities is Huntsville, Alabama. And of course, you've got UAB's medical research, and you've got all these things. I don't think people understand to the extent that we already have the base for what you just described. And this could wind up being exactly like you said. Within the next 10 years, we could be one of the dominant forces in high tech and cyber. That'd be amazing.
I think I've had a good discussion with Senator Tuberville. Tommy and I had this discussion while we're in the Oval Office about the opportunities that we have to reform rural health care through this Medicaid Rural Transformation Fund. I talked with President Mueller at the University of Alabama about the role that the university communities can have in this. Phil, we're on the verge of some fabulous opportunities. I was just named chairman of the Environment Subcommittee on the Energy and Commerce Committee, which I would argue is the most powerful committee in Congress, and leading the effort on securing our supply chain of refined rare earth elements, which is absolutely critical to our national security. And our university systems are doing some of the best research in the world on this. We've got some really exciting opportunities ahead of us, and I'm really looking forward to where we're going to wind up. But the key here is that window is going to close on us, because there's not a single major refinery for rare earth elements in the Western Hemisphere.
Yeah.
There's only 9 in the world, and 8 of them are in China.
Holy crap. Well, that's got to get fixed. Listen, one more thing. We got about 2 minutes left here, and I mentioned this with Congressman Strong yesterday when he was on with us. There's a lot of talk about, okay, we get this, you know, continuing massive influx of jobs and industry and government operations. And with that comes, and you described the Northern Beltway a minute ago, with that comes a need for additional infrastructure. So aside from the Northern Beltway, do you anticipate that that we will see an increase to our infrastructure, especially in North Alabama, as we, you know, harness all of these new jobs and bring them in?
Yeah, I think there's a real challenge in the Huntsville area, and it's going to be westward primarily. U.S. Highway 72, I think they're going to have to do a lot of work on that.
Yeah.
I don't know what they'll do on 565, but it's not just Huntsville. Huntsville's now the largest city in Alabama.
Yeah.
The second largest city is Mobile. And there are a couple of huge things happening down there. They're moving the airport to the old Brooklyn Air Force Base there, and the Mobile Bay Bridge. The single largest commercial bottleneck on Interstate 10 is the Mobile Tunnel.
Yeah.
So there's just a tremendous amount of work being done, and hopefully in the Wiregrass area they'll get a connector from Dothan down to I-10, which I think will be very significant for them.
Well, that, and there's always the talk about widening I-65, so the corridor running north-south has also, you know, got, you know, more capability, even if nothing else for tourism in the summer times. But
yeah, we want all those folks up north driving down to our beaches. That's a great idea.
As long as they bring their tax dollars with them, that's all right. Yeah. Well, Congressman, listen, I appreciate your time. I know you've got a lot going on, and thank you for making time for us today, and we'll have you on again sometime soon. But keep us posted, all right?
You do a great job, Phil. I always enjoy being on with you.
Thank you, sir. Have a great day. See you. That's Congressman Gary Palmer. And listen, when I said he's a longtime conservative, you have no idea how much time. I mean, listen, I used to see him when I was in the state house as a state senator, him walking the halls of the state house, meeting with members of the state legislature, going over policy issues, you know, working the issue of what it means to bring conservative policy to our legislation. And I would say the Alabama Policy Institute, which he founded like 36 years ago, I believe, has been a force in conservative politics in large part because of that man. That's Congressman Gary Palmer, 6th District of Alabama. All right, we're taking a break. We'll come right back. I got some text messages to catch up on. And then coming up top of the hour, we're due to have a call with Attorney General Steve Marshall. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.